So this morning we're going to look at church planting. In the book of Acts, there's a series of electrifying scriptures that we're going to look at in a few moments, and three scriptures in particular. Here is a time at the beginning of the church, as we understand it. Jesus has done his ministry. He's been crucified. He has been put to death. He's rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. And he's ascended to heaven. And now it's time. The Holy Spirit has been sent. There's always been a witness in earth, hasn't there? Yes. Throughout scriptures. God the Father in the early days, he walked, did he not? Mm-hmm. He was with Adam and so forth. Then we see the time when Jesus was walking the earth, another manifestation of the Holy of the Trinity. And now it's the Holy Spirit. Yes. It's the time of the Holy Spirit. We're living in that age, and don't forget that, because it's so important, because we don't physically see him. His presence is still nevertheless essential and important for us to remind ourselves of his power in our lives. So here we see the beginnings of what God is going to do, and it's beginnings are really important. How they start, they set a pattern for what is to go afterwards as well, don't they? And so we need to look at that, and we see something fantastic going on. Acts chapter 6, in verse 7, it says, "So the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith." That's from the AV version. So what have we got here? We got the word of God spreading. This is great. This is a wonderful thing. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased. It wasn't people who said they believed. It wasn't people who just had an acquaintance with religion. They were disciples. And there was a large number of the priests begin to understand what it is that Jesus was all about and everything about him, and saw him. He was Messiah. They recognized that. And that little thing, we read it casually, but in reality, historically, that is an amazing, amazing thing that has changed in a huge, huge focus there. That actually, here's a recognition of from not just the Jewish people, but from those who should have been recognizing, those in the priestly authority were there, and they saw it, and they became disciples of Jesus themselves. So that's the first scripture. Acts 12, 24. It says, "But the word of God continued to increase and spread." In the authorized version, it puts "multiplied." The word of God multiplied. No. Does that mean they printed more Bibles? No. They didn't have the Bibles in those days, did they? It hadn't yet been written. It's going to be written, but it hasn't been written yet for much of the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, but not the New. So the word of God is increasing. How did it get there? How did it, you know, did somehow an angelic host come down and start going from town to town and proclaiming the word? No, it was the disciples who were spreading the word of God. And it's increasing. There's a multiplication in what God is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, 31. "The church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." Again, in the authorized version, it puts the word "the church multiplied." So here we have some numerical stuff in the Bible. We see a multiplication. Sometimes you see adding to the church, but here we see it multiply. What we don't want in the church is division, obviously. But we're seeing something tremendous happening right here. The church is basically exploding. It is growing. It's going absolutely there. Now, before I go any further, because I'm going to lay some principles down, but within all of that, I want to remind us that everything is down to what the Holy Spirit does. Yes. We can have the best laid plans. We can follow the scripture verse by verse. We can do it all and be cunning and all manner of things. But unless the Holy Spirit's involved, we're not going very far. You can get it all right, but if the Holy Ghost is not doing that work, nothing's going to happen. Nothing for real. You might get a religion, you might get a response of some kind, you might get a few numbers, but you're not going to get that real power of God move of a changed heart and a changed life. And that's what we want. The world's got enough religion. We don't need any more. We need more disciples. We need more of the truth. We need more of the Holy Spirit flowing throughout the church and throughout the lands. So you can get it. Oh, and having said that as well, you can get it all wrong, theoretically. But if the Holy Ghost is involved, he can put it right.
Amen.
Yeah. There is no magical formula to the growth of the church. It comes down to something of God. Yes, there are things we should do. There are things we ought to do. There are things we ought not to do. But having said all that, it's something, it's God.
Yes.
It's God. And do you remember, some of you, they allude to it in some films here and there, the Jesus people. Now, most of you won't have been alive around, a lot of us were. But in America, there was a huge explosion of belief in the Lord, in America in particular. And over here it came as the charismatic revival. But there was a move of God going on in the world. And hundreds and thousands of young people got saved in the States in particular. And I've been involved with the fellowship I used to be involved with, started during that time. And they were seeing drug addicts and all sorts of people, young people, all getting saved tremendously. God's working phenomenally. And they believed from that their methods were the right methods. Because look at the results. Yeah? Do you see? Met another fellowship, and it's actually called Calvary Chapel. Somebody who found our name out and saw they were Calvary Chapel. Oh, come and read the book about Calvary Chapel. Here's the book for you. So I read it. And basically what it was saying is, follow our methodology and you got it right. No. That's the methodology. In there, in this book. And even then, you have no guarantee of numbers. You've a guarantee of revival.
Yes.
There's a scripture that tells, if my people will humble themselves, etc. I haven't got a reference to it, but I recall that. I shall, it says. He's going to do it if we do that. But it does not mean, however, in our time frame. I want it now. That's our theme, isn't it? I want it now. Yeah. That's right. We want it this minute. We want it this instant. We want, you know, in our plain sight. So do I. But unfortunately, God's time frame is God's time frame.
Yes.
It can happen. There was a guy called Alan Gardner. I've gone way off script here. He was a missionary to South America. He went from the top of South America, right from the little narrow bit. You know where the Panama comes in? Come on, geography. Right down to Tierra del Fuego. Really test your geography.
Wow.
Right from top to bottom, he went and he ministered and he saw. How many do you think he got saved? Flat zero. Flat zero. But he was faithful in what God had told him to do. And the following missionaries after him, who saw great revival, said he was the father of the revival in South America at that time. It's not about what you see. It's about what God sees and what God does and his working. So I say that as a preference because I don't want us to get a hold of a mindset. Well, we've got to do this, we've got to do that step. And if we get all these keys to revival and we lock all these doors, and wow, it's all going to be wonderful and great and it's all going to happen. Well, something might happen, but I want it to be God that happens.
Yes.
There's a huge difference and we've got to focus on that. In it all. So if you pick nothing else up from what I say this morning, keep a hold of that because it's really important. If we're going to see the word of God multiplied, remember it says the word of God multiplied in the scriptures we read, then we're going to have to, if we want to see disciples made, if we want to see churches growing churches expanding, new churches throughout the land. Preface here. There's too many churches in the land in one sense. All right. When I say church, new churches in the land, I don't mean springing up of new fellowships of this and new fellowships. What I'm talking about is a church that is vibrant and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A church that is alive to God. Whatever fancy label or non-label it's got, that's not important. What we want to see is the reality of God in people's lives. A church that will follow the Word. That's why the Word of God multiplies, is because people live the Word. They didn't just go to church, they lived the Word. So one of the key elements of this is what we've been looking at the last two times I've been speaking, and that is making disciples. The training of workers. It's got to be done correctly. This has been missed by much. Jesus trained his disciples. Jesus spent his time there. And today, it's in Matthew 28, it says in verse 19, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations." Then he goes on to say, making them disciples. Not just telling the word and making converts by any means or methods. That you're either a convert or you die. And these sorts of crazy things that have gone on in history. Like this methodology of, you know, well, there's an African guy, he says, what church do you go to? He says, well, I go to the Baptist for Medicare. I go to the Methodists for free lunches. He's whatever he's sorted, so he gets what he can. But it wasn't about his heart changing. It was about what was being given. Yeah. All right. There's some people look at discipling that way. To be a disciple, there's something important that we have to have, and that's an impartation of knowledge. Now, you may think, well, he's going off on what he said before. He's not always talking about not just your head. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to do it. Yes. When I talk about this sort of knowledge, it's the understanding and the doing put together. Now, I'm doing an online guitar course. You might not believe it, but I am. And I'm on level 4, I'll have you know. Anyway, in this they give you what's called tabulation. And it simply is, where do you stick your fingers? Basically, technically that's what it's called. Which finger you stick where. And I can sit and look at that. And I can see, oh yeah, there's a power chord. I know that one. That's a C5. Thank you all. But that's no use to anyone. Oh yeah, C5, that's great. I know all the cowboy chords, that's great. I can do my GCs and all. Oh, that's wonderful. Can you play them? No. It's useless knowledge, isn't it? Without me going and sitting down and struggling sometimes to put my hand in the right place and then go... And thinking, no, that's not quite right. And keep on doing and putting into practice that which is there, then it's useless. In fact, it's worse than useless. It's disharmony and problems, isn't it? And that's the same with all this. It's not just there. It's you putting it into practice. You know, you only know it when you can do it. Yeah? That's when you really know. You know, but you don't know. But when you've done it, you really know. That's what's something great about when you actually share with other people what you believe. Because you know in there what you believe, don't you? Hope so. Yes. You're in trouble if you don't, because we really don't know where we go with that. You know what's in there. But when you begin to speak it, it confirms what you know. It's strange, but it's true. And one of the quickest way of learning is the necessity. Teachers have to be at least one step ahead of their pupils. Yeah? We'll be tired you if you're one step behind. You've got to know a little bit more. And that's okay. So long as you keep that distance, you've got something to impart. Do you see? Yeah. And But when we know it and we teach it, if you ever get up to stand up here and do this, it does a lot for you. It does more for me than it does for you. Truly. You begin to confirm that which you know. There is something powerful about speaking out. It's creative. The word of God was creative. Do you remember that? God spoke and it was. Okay, so the word of God has multiplied. There needs to be an impartation of real knowledge. This is where I come back to the start where I was coming. A disciple is involved in the work of God in actual experiential ministry. He's doing something. Now, does that mean everybody's good? Because this is the way the church world gets off. Oh, they will take what I've said just there. All right, so everybody's got to preach. No. Where'd you get that from? Get back to your word. Get back to what it says. Now, you've all got a ministry. Yeah?
Yes.
A variety of ministries. Why? Because the church is the body. The body has got many parts that do many specialist functions. Yeah?
Yes.
And there is no highest or lowest. It's the body. Okay, we all need each other for every, all to function properly. All those things, the things that go on behind the scenes that people never even notice until they're not done, they're important. Do you see? And just because someone's up here and gets to be seen, oh, that must be the important. No, it's not. It's about that whole thing, and we all minister together. So it's about you, each and every one of you, being partaking in doing something. There's a revelation for most churches. Why? Because they have a bloke they pay to do it all. Yeah? Well, you don't pay me, so that's the first bit we got wrong there. It's your paid religious man, clergy. Yeah, and the laity, these words are so crazy when you start thinking about it. You know, who set up this priestly class? Hello, do you not remember being priests and kings to our God? God, I've been 17 minutes already. This might go longer than we expected. All right, so it's important that we understand that we're all part and parcel of the body, partakers in reality of moving in the power of God, partakers of the Holy Spirit, bringing that ministry into reality and doing what we need to do. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that has been heard of me among many witnesses, the same cannot count, commit thou to faithful men, which will be able to teach others likewise." So I didn't read that very well because it's done in my writing, which is not a very good thing to do. Teach others, faithful men, that are then will be able to, you pass it on and they pass it on. A bit like a relay. This is the church, it's what it's there. It's meant to be there, trained within the local church. Not sent off. Not to a para-church organisation. I'm my hobby horse again, sorry. Para, that's a prefix. Para meaning parasite, it means beside. It's not what the real thing is. It's something alien, in fact, really. There should be no para-church. It should be the church. It's the church. It's the church.
Yes.
Involved in the church. Learning in the church. Okay, let's move on because I've spent plenty of time. Let's have a look at fellowship, and that must go on. Fellowship must continue. Once we got saved, we're ministering. It doesn't mean then we somehow lose fellowship. In the book of Acts, we see the disciples multiplied and continued in fellowship and prayer, meeting together. All right. There was not a time when that ended. It developed. It wasn't a once and for all experience. We need each other. We need to minister one to another. You being here encourages others. Just simply you being here encourages others. Let alone ministry, let alone the growth we see as people stand up and start to take their part in the church and do things and become faithful in it all. That's a real blessing. You see that happening. It's an excitement. Why? Well, I ain't going to be here forever. None of us are. And there needs to be a continuation, does there not? And the generation has to learn, as it says in the book of, in the Pentateuch, talks about the land wasn't emptied. There were enemies left for the others to learn to fight. So you young ones have got to learn to fight. You've got to learn to stand. You've got to learn to minister. You've got to learn to take the baton on, as it were. Okay. Acts 14, 27 and 28. Let's see if I've got it on my printed scripture. Yes, it's easier then. Now, when they had come and gathered together the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So they've gone out evangelizing. And God has opened a door to the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles are getting... It was a big shock to the Jews, this was. And we forget all this. We just live in the good of it all and don't even contend or think about it. But no, the door was open to all. And this was clearly there that this was God's plan. It's in the Old Testament. But people tend to forget that and only focused on themselves, which was them, was the Jews. But God had opened the door to the Gentiles. And he's saying, he came back and he shared with them what God was doing. And exciting when you hear what God's doing. You know, we hear too much of what the devil is doing on your news, all around. You see it in your communities, you know. But what is God doing? And that's really great when people are able to bring that back. But notice he'd gone back to the church where he came from. Why? To encourage them. Why? His heart was still there. He was still part of them. He hadn't somehow then split off and become a different person and a different entity and a different relationship. No, they were one and all the same church. Whilst it wasn't necessarily where he was at the time, all the time in that local church, he was still functioning and part of and fellowshipping with that local church. That remained a link with them. Okay, so they fellowshiped there. A development period had gone on in the church and there had been growth and spread out into further areas of the world. They were still associating one with another. Now, this is where we get another divergence from what happened in Scripture to what's happening today. Today, there's a lot of places called fellowships. Yeah? Why did they do that? Why? Because you've got a lot of denominations. All right, you know what a denomination is? It's got a central headquarters. Yeah? Their finances are all linked to that. If you as a church are in that situation where you're in a denomination, you said, actually, you've gone off the rails denomination. You're teaching heresy. We're leaving. They said, that's fine. You can leave. But the building stays with us. All the assets stay with us. Why? Because they belong to the denomination. Yeah? And if denomination says, you've got to do this or other, this is the direction we're going, you're expected to follow that, like it or lump it. Yeah? That's what denominations do. They centralize everything. They centralize their missionary work. Okay? So, these missionaries that I was a pastor of the Assemblies of God. Don't throw things stuff at me. for a number of years. And every Monday morning, what is Monday? I don't know why. I'd get all these letters asking for money from this thing and that thing and that thing and the other and then all over the place. Because it was all part of the denomination. Because the Assemblies of God, whilst they talk about fellowship, remains a denomination.
Yes.
Not as closely knit as some, but certainly still remain within that sort of structural thing. So the missionaries are sent out from the denomination. And you have your own place for training pastors. It's usually pastors. Because most of the church only has pastors, pastors, pastors and pastors. Yeah, they don't have evangelists, preachers, teachers. They don't have prophets. They don't have all those other ministries that's in there, which you can look up for yourself. They have pastors. or call it by another name, ministers. That's all is there. And so what you do, you centralize where you train them. Well, what have we said about discipleship? Where does that begin? It stays in a local church. Can't be done. It can't be, as it were, sent off to somewhere else to be done by somebody else. So they send them all to Mattersea Hall, is it? It used to be. I don't know, I'm not in touch with it anymore. And I've been to Bible college. Stop laughing. I have. Oh, it's not a lie. I went one day. Got into an argument. About women preachers. But never mind. Didn't last that long. Analyze what we're looking. Use your brain and analyze what's going on here. So here's all the churches all around the country, all belonging to. We'll stick with the Assemblies of God because I know it a bit more. So we got. So a guy comes up to the pastor. Oh, pastor, I feel the call of God in my life. What should I do? Now you hopefully know what you should be telling him. Well, that's great. We want to train you up in this in a ministry. Where do you feel your calling is? And so we want to help you reach your destiny in God. That's what should happen. Okay? And do it here, put it into practice here. Then we'll see whatever God wants to do with you further along the road. Yeah? No, what they say in denominations, they say, well, there's a good Bible college we can send you to and knock the life out of you. And so what happens is you've got finances going into basically an educational system from the local church rather than going into evangelism in a local area. Yeah? You've got somebody who wants to serve God taken out of where he could have been a valuable minister to somewhere else, gone. Now this is, multiply that by 1,000 that's happening all around the world as this system is going on. Oh, it's a great loss to the church. Do you see? Should be workers within the local church. There's a problem. Why? Remember I talked about the leaflets coming through on the Monday? Well, I don't know any of the guys that's out there being missionaries. I don't know them. Maybe if you go to the conference once a year, you might see them. If you're lucky. But all you've got is a sheet telling you, there's a great need here and send us some money and buy us a Land Rover or whatever it is. Because we can't get through the jungle without our Land Rover. But, you know. And sometimes you give and sometimes you don't. But change that around. Say, for instance, we're going to send Keith out to minister somewhere else and open a new work. There's no knowing. If it's God, he's doing it. Right? So, and we say, right, to do that, we're going to need this, 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 and this. We'll get it together, and we need to get some money to help it off the ground. Now, somebody you don't know, somebody you do know, who are you going to give and sacrifice for? It just stands to reason, doesn't it? I would sacrifice for that. I would give to that, whereas I might give a little cursory something to the other. But to somebody you know, somebody you have a relationship with, somebody you trust, somebody you've seen minister, and you know the quality of that individual, you say, you know what, no problem. Do you see the difference? And this is going on all the time, all the time, all the time. It's missing what should be. And don't forget what I said. Yes, but people get saved throughout the other system. Yes, they do. Because God has to draw a straight line with a crooked stick always. Because he uses you and I. God's desire is to save. So all these myriad of things that we sort of say, success, success, wonderful, that. It's not that. It's just God's great desire to save. Okay. So. Where have I got to? Totally lost him. What are Once these workers went out to pioneer these churches, they kept in relationship. You see, Paul kept going back, didn't he? And he went to and he set up a church, and he didn't say, "Okay, this is mine now. I'm the main man in this church. I'm sticking around and getting a living from it. I'm going to do... And no, he's established, it tells them to establish elders. Yeah, does it not?
Yes.
Set up the leadership who will then be responsible. Then he moves on. Do you see? But then from time to time, he remains in association, goes back and encourages them, or even ministers and develops a new ministry within that place. Now, these are the simple things that is in the way. I need to come to an end now because time is gone. Okay, that's the simple way. We train workers. We see people being sponsored. We see remaining in association one with another and planting of new works. That's been, I've never done that. I've been involved in the church planting and being one of those that's gone. But I'd love to see that. Before I move from this mortal coil, I think that's Shakespeare somehow put it. I'd like to see that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't you? Just something that, but it's got to be God.
Yeah.
We've got to keep to His time frame. In the Word of God, it increased and the number of disciples multiplied. That's what we need, isn't it? The Word of God multiplied. It doesn't matter if we don't see another soul come through the door in one sense. The Word of God needs to multiply.
Yes.
In our life, in our hearts, that we might put into practice that which God has shown us by the Holy Spirit. Let's leave it there.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray.